Hello, I'm Lina Ahmadou. Welcome to Health Chat. Health authorities in Guinea continue to monitor people who have been in contact, directly or indirectly, with a man who died of Marburg virus earlier this month. A hemorrhagic fever like Ebola, Marburg has a historic fatality rate of up to 88%, and transmission between humans is usually through contact with blood or other bodily fluids, according to the World Health Organization. The incubation period of the virus, which is the time from infection to onset of symptoms, varies from 2 to 21 days, and experts have kept at least 150 people under observation for 3 weeks. To find out more about Marburg virus and the current situation in Guinea, I spoke with Dr. Georges Kizerbo, head of WHO office and representative in Guinea.
Dr. Georges Kizerbo, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Linard, for having me.
We wanted to talk to you first and foremost about the Marburg virus, which is a virus that West Africa is seeing for the first time, according to reports. First of all, what is a Marburg virus? It is an hemorrhagic disease, we know that, but what is the specificity of this disease?
Thank you. Marburg virus disease is an hemorrhagic viral fever. From the same family as Ebola virus disease. It's a highly virulent pathogen, which was known to cause outbreaks in other regions, areas of Africa. So this is the first time in West Africa that a human case is actually reported. But we knew from studies before that the virus was actually circulating in animal populations in the area near where this case was discovered. So it is a virulent pathogen. It's high case fatality rate, and it is a high risk in this case arising in the southern part of Guinea, close to Sierra Leone in Liberia.
How much of a concern is it?
It is a concern because, first, there are no known or proven interventions such as vaccines or therapeutics for Marburg. There have been innovations for Ebola in the last few years, but for Marburg, you only have prevention, which is really to avoid contact with sick people, to apply the hygiene and infection and prevention control in the community and also in health facilities. So the arsenal of tools is limited. Secondly, this area is an area with high mobility of populations. It is the area called the Paroblique. And there's a lot of mobility between the three countries in particular. So the WHO had assessed the risk as high for Guinea, but also high at the regional level, especially for cross-border risk of transmission. This is why a surge capacity has been deployed and cross-border collaboration has been enhanced with Sierra Leone and Liberia in particular.
So what is the latest regarding Guinea specifically? One case was detected. Contact tracing has been put in place. So what is the latest?
The latest is that, unfortunately, this case was died from his disease, and he was diagnosed and confirmed at Institut Pasteur in Dakar, which is a collaborating center for WHO. 173 contacts have been traced, and 4 or 5 high-risk contacts have been also identified. The contact tracing was very conservative to make sure that the risk is contained. So these contacts are going to be followed up for 3 weeks. And so far, no secondary case has been confirmed. No suspected case has been referred to health facilities. So it's one case so far, and we need to continue the surveillance to scale up community engagement, infection control, and also to put the logistics for supportive care in case new cases occur.
What makes Ebola different from Marburg or vice versa?
As I said, Marburg is the same type of transmission. You have to come into close contact with body fluids, blood, sweat, or other fluids. But the difference is that for Marburg, so far, no vaccine, no treatment has been licensed. So prevention is the key. You have to contain the outbreak where it has started. We know that in the past there have been emergence of Marburg limited to one case. It could have been an accidental case in a lab or even in a village. So it can be very small clusters of cases and even isolated cases. This is the best case scenario that we are looking at, that this be limited to the first case and index case. But sometimes we have seen also larger outbreaks, such as in Angola in 2005 with more than 370 cases and high fatality, case fatality, reaching 80% in some of the outbreaks. So it's a very, very high risk that you have to contain, mainly with prevention from the start.
Turning to Ebola, Guinea has seen outbreaks of Ebola a few times, including this year. Now, the recent case of Ebola in Côte d'Ivoire was exported from Guinea from a young woman who traveled from Guinea to Abidjan. Guinea has donated 5,000 doses of Ebola vaccine to Côte d'Ivoire. With recurring outbreak of Ebola in Guinea, how is continued surveillance utilized to ensure that Ebola does not break out again and spread within the country and beyond?
You know, I was mentioning this area of the Parrot Dig, which was the most affected in the 2014 to 2016 outbreak, with Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone being the most affected countries. What we are seeing probably, and studies will continue to confirm that, is that we are at a place or in an area of emergence and reemergence. So this is linked to probably interaction between human animal populations and the environment. So this phenomenon of emergence and reemergence must be really taken very seriously, and all the capacities, including for research on the source of these diseases, must be applied. Currently for Marburg, ecological studies are being conducted to see what could be the reservoir, the origin in animal populations, especially bats, of these new case of Marburg in that area. So WHO and other partners are working with the government of Guinea to strengthen surveillance, including community-based surveillance, so that the alerts in terms of cases of diseases, cases of deaths in communities are reported very quickly. We are also working along the framework of the One Health concept, which is really linking human, animal health, and also the environment. One Health platforms are being strengthened. And also, as I was saying, cross-border interventions are being also targeted with close collaboration between the different districts across the border. So Guinea is making progress, and as you could see, the resurgence of Ebola in 2021 was shorter, with only 23 cases. And this is linked to better reactivity and proactiveness of the system.
What strategy is put in place in Guinea to take care of the COVID-19 crisis along with the outbreak of Marburg and Ebola? These are three very serious diseases right there. We know that the healthcare system can be strained. How are authorities handling three health crises at the same time?
Now, just before responding to that, I would like to say that for the Ebola case in Côte d'Ivoire, there are confirmations being undertaken to also do the sequencing of that virus that was isolated, so that it could be compared to previous outbreaks, strains, and be studied in that way. But as a preventive measure, vaccination has also started, for example, in Labé, where the case started a trip to Côte d'Ivoire. So we are really collaborating very closely with Côte d'Ivoire for investigation, contact tracing, and also preventive measures. Now, for COVID, I think COVID is the background for all these other outbreaks, and it will continue. So the government of Guinea has put in place a plan to respond to COVID, and we are supporting that plan in all the pillars, including coordination, case management, and also vaccine introduction. But we are not forgetting the continuity of services. We still have malaria, TB, HIV, and other programs also to support. What we are doing is trying to optimize the resources that can be used for all these outbreaks. For example, infection prevention and control is the same for all these diseases. It's hand washing, personal hygiene, sensitizing the community to avoid contact with sick people and to avoid transmission of the disease. So these aspects are being put together, integrated, so that when we engage the communities and the leaders at community level, we are able to pass messages that can help in fighting all these outbreaks. Resource mobilization is also key. Guinea has secured enough vaccine to reach a good proportion of vaccine coverage by the end of this year, maybe 30%. And this was through the COVAX facility, the ABAT African Union facility, but also bilateral deals between Guinea and other countries. So I think it's a challenge, but we are also building the capacity so that this can be taken care all together.
So right now we don't know in terms of the sequencing of the Ebola virus in Cote d'Ivoire too. We don't really know much yet.
Yes, usually what happens is that after the first diagnosis, another lab, usually a center of excellence, a collaborating center. This was done in Institut Pasteur in Cote d'Ivoire. So they are working with other centers of excellence to complete the sequencing of the strain. And I think these results will be very useful.
Great. And before we wrap, Dr. Kizerbo, what can you tell us in terms of WHO's assistance in Guinea and even in the region in addressing these health challenges? Is there anything that we need to look forward to in the near future or in terms of the current strategy?
Yes, as you were saying, I think the WHO emergency program was put in place actually after the big outbreak and devastating outbreak of 2014 to 2016. We have seen the high health, but also socio-economic impact of Ebola and other outbreaks in the African region. So WHO is really working with countries to put in place national health security plans, focusing more on preparedness. The idea is to stop with the cycle of what is called panic and neglect, which is when there is an outbreak, everybody panics, but then in between there is neglect, and the preparedness part is not as strong as it should be. So this approach is being pursued with member states, but also with regional economic communities such as ECOWAS. We have the West African Health Organization. We have the African Union and Africa CDC. We also have big health initiatives such as the Global Health Security Agenda, from the government of the United States. So many stakeholders coming together so that a more proactive approach based on preparedness, early detection, and early response can limit the risks of these outbreaks that are going to be there. These are emerging and re-emerging diseases.
Dr. Georges Kizerbo, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
That was Dr. Georges Kizerbo, head of WHO and representative in Guinea. It is time for a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Stay informed and up to date Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC with VOA's International Edition. Our correspondents bring you the news from around the globe. Plus, we delve into the context of the day's biggest stories with interviews with experts that place the story into context to understand why it matters. VOA's International Edition, your best source for news and information.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa. Welcome back to Health Chat. We turn now to Ebola, another hemorrhagic fever that West Africa is currently confronted with. Cote d'Ivoire detected recently its first case of Ebola since 1994 in an 18-year-old Guinean woman who had traveled by road from Guinea to Ivory Coast's capital, Abidjan. Health authorities have deployed efforts to quickly contain the disease, including contact tracing and vaccination. For more on the subject, I spoke with Dr. Jean-Marie Yameogo, WHO representative in Cote d'Ivoire.
Dr. Jean-Marie Yameogo, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
A case of Ebola was detected a few days ago in the country from a woman who traveled from Guinea. What is the latest?
Okay, thank you very much. So far, we still have one confirmed case. This is what we call the index case. We also managed to identify 27, what we call suspected cases. Those are people who travel with the patient, and now we have identified them with their location. Out of the 92 who were also traveled with the case. So what we are doing now is what we call the contact tracing, meaning that daily calls with those we have identified, and also active church among the community. And we have involved local leaders, religious, health workers, media as well, to really actively look for all the passengers who travel with the case. So far, one confirmed case and 27 contact cases that we are now following up.
Contact tracing is a very important step in containing an epidemic such as this one. How concerned are you about disease control at this point?
At this point in time, is those who we did not yet, you know, identify clearly. You know that the particular case travel for more than 1,500 kilometers within from the initial place in Guinea up to Cote d'Ivoire. This is a very far, a long trip by road using a common, you know, transport and so on. And also the case has made the bus stopped 5 times minimum in Cote d'Ivoire. All those places you are getting passengers, who are getting in, some are getting out. This is for us the main concern. But with the involvement of the communities and also policemen and the armed forces as well, we are now looking for actively those cases to be able to do the necessary follow-up for at least 21 days. You know that we need to follow up them for a minimum of 3 weeks before we declare that they can no longer infect anybody. That is our main concern.
What are the the challenges in dealing with the virus in an urban area like Abidjan? That's about 5 million people.
Exactly. 5 million people and moving around for business every day. And also, it's difficult in Côte d'Ivoire, in Abidjan, to keep what we call the contact traces in a place because they have their own business. They don't want to be, controlled. They want to continue doing their business. This is really a challenge. But with the risk communication and also the sanitization of the population, we have managed today to have, as I said before, 27 person who travel with the lady that now are cooperating with the health services, and we are visiting them twice a day, discussing with them, and so far they are compliant to our strategies.
Okay. Now, what does the sequencing of the virus reveal regarding its origin? Do we have the answers so far to know if this is a new outbreak or if it's linked to past outbreaks?
Yeah, so far the sequencing results are still pending. We have sent the samples to France, to Institut Pasteur of Lyon. And we probably do expect results in the coming days. But due to the fact that clinically the case came from Guinea, and we know that Guinea is one of the countries who experienced a very huge outbreak 2014-2015, we do think that probably it is linked to the 2014 viruses, but we still need to wait for the laboratory sequencing results to confirm this.
People have been getting vaccinated. At this point, who should get vaccinated?
Those who are eligible to the vaccination are the people at risk, meaning that the family members, the people living in the same area, the patient, and also the health workers, as you mentioned. Those are what we call the frontline people. And then those are what we call the contacts, the first-line contacts cases. And the second line is those who went into contact with this initial group, what we call the contact of contact. Those, all of them are eligible to the vaccination. And so far we have managed to vaccinate 1,200 people in Abidjan, and we have deployed the vaccines in the rest of the country, and people are really, we are big adherents to this vaccination. And we are happy of what is going on so far.
Speaking of vaccine adherence, there have been some hesitancy with regards to COVID-19, whether it's in Côte d'Ivoire or other countries on the continent and beyond. Vaccine hesitancy is a problem globally. Do you find that people are more compliant with getting vaccinated against Ebola?
At the beginning, there were really hesitancies vis-à-vis the COVID vaccination. But we do manage to doing what we call the gate-to-gate sensitization using local leaders and so on. We do manage so far to vaccinate 1,200,000 people in Abidjan alone, a huge achievement. And for COVID, what we have seen as adherence to Ebola vaccination, they are compliant. And we have said that we have achieved 1,200 people that already are being vaccinated for Ebola. So it is ongoing. We are still pushing and working with other community leaders to get everybody to keep the momentum and to raise the awareness and to continue the risk communication among the population.
So what would you say are the priorities right now?
Right now is to achieve the contact tracing. You know, to be able to declare the end of this epidemic, we should say that we have followed up all the contact cases, people who travel with the patient. We have followed them up to during 21 days. And from that there, we can say, since there is no case, we can say that it is over. So to me, that is what we are pushing now to achieve the contact tracing. The surveillance across the borders, along the borders with Guinea and other countries, and continue also the vaccination of the high-risk population, those who were in contact with the case. Well, that is the main pillar we are doing now, in addition to risk communication. That's why I'm very happy that the media are now involved in Cote d'Ivoire. Local media, local radios, many of them are now doing sanitization in local languages. I think combining all those strategies, we should probably very soon overcome this outbreak.
And finally, Dr. Yamiogo, what is your message in a case like this? What do you tell the communities, the population? Because when people hear about Ebola, it's very, very frightening.
Exactly. You're right. And what we say is to keep, what we call the measure in terms of how to prevent, to not be infected. Like hand washing, like avoiding animals, wild animals. You know that we are now a combination between animals, health for animals, health for human, and also environment. We need to now look at those three components, and we are telling people to be aware and to continue the protection, the protective measures. And until we declare that there is no Ebola case again. And also to adhere to the vaccination. What is new in Ebola disease is now we have very efficient vaccine that we didn't have before. We have efficient vaccine. They should just go to get the vaccinations when they feel that they were at risk with somebody, and then they will be protected. That is our message to the population.
Dr. Jean-Marie Yamiogo, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
That was Dr. Jean-Marie Yamiogo, WHO representative in Cote d'Ivoire. We turn now to the COVID-19 pandemic. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration has fully approved the Pfizer biotech COVID vaccine, the first vaccine to receive full approval. The decision to fully approve it among people aged 16 and up was based on updated data from the drug's clinical trial involving more than 40,000 people, which found the vaccine 91% effective in preventive COVID. The FDA is continuing to investigate safety data regarding the more concerning condition, myocarditis or heart inflammation, with the highest risk among boys aged 12 through 17 within 7 days after the second dose of the vaccine. Observers say the approval may convince more people to get vaccinated and more institutions to mandate vaccinations. That's all for this edition of Health Chat. For the latest news and coverage on the coronavirus pandemic, visit voanews.com. Check us out at facebook.com/VOA Health Chat and let's keep the conversation going. Thank you all for joining us, and special thanks to all our affiliate stations throughout Africa for carrying Health Chat. I'm your host, Lina Ahmadou, in Washington with producer Dan Brown. Until next time, take care, stay safe, and wash your hands more frequently and strive to make every day a healthy day.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Border Crossings. The Voice of America's Request Hour brings you an hour of great music and an escape from the news headlines, which aren't too good every single day. Tune in at 1500 Universal to Border Crossings. Make your requests by calling 202-619-2077, and we'll forget about all of our troubles and enjoy an hour of great music. Tune us in, Border Crossings, on the Voice of America.
This is VOA.